Well, just this past week in the Church of Scotland, the National Church of Scotland, the Church of John Knox, and what was once our sister Presbyterian Church, a vote was held at the General Assembly to allow same-sex so-called marriage to take place. The end of a long process which had been working up to that point over the last number of years. And whenever we hear such things, it's been all over the news this week, the question comes into our minds, what is going on? Why are these things happening? Where is it all going to end? And what it's telling us is simply this, that there is a different gospel being preached nowadays. There's a different Christ that is being preached nowadays. A different spirit is abroad in the church nowadays. A spirit that is seducing the church, that is hypnotizing it in very often many places and corrupting it, the spirit of the world, as it actively works its way through. And that's why it's helpful to turn to a prophecy like the prophecy of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6, as we do today, really chapters 4, 5, and 6, because Jeremiah, you might not think it, lived in very similar times to the times in which we are living. He wasn't facing same-sex marriage, as it's called nowadays. That wasn't the issue in his time. But let me just give you three very quick markers of signs of the times in which he was living, which are very similar to the times in which we are living as well. There in chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search her squares. If you can find just one honest person who seeks the truth, I will forgive this city." Is it not very common nowadays that you hear businessmen say something like this? It's very hard to find an honest employee, somebody that you can trust. You hear that frequently from businessmen. Very hard to find someone honest that you can trust. And that's the time in which Jeremiah was living. Go through the squares, go out into the streets, the highways and byways. Can you find just one honest man? Or look again at verse 7 for another sign of the times in which Jeremiah was living, so similar to ours. "I supplied all their needs, says God, and yet they committed adultery and thronged to the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife." A very highly sexualized society in the time of Jeremiah. People who were materially very rich, but very highly sexualized as well. Just as the age in which we are living in is identical, we too are materially very rich, but we are also a very highly sexualized society. And the other example, just to pinpoint the similarities with his time and ours, did the clergy speak up against the situation in Jeremiah's time? Did the clergy preach against the sins of the age and the judgment of God to come? Verse 12 of chapter 5, "They," says the prophet, "have lied about the Lord. They said, he will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine." Here were complacent clergy, people who did not preach the word of the Lord. They preached as nowadays, perhaps people, the clergy of the day, will speak out, oh, so importantly about climate change and war in Ukraine and fuel poverty. But the sins of the age and the judgment of God is not heard. And into this mix comes Jeremiah the prophet. We saw him two times ago, exceptionally fearful that he was being called by God, because when God calls you to bring a message, you never know what's coming. You can never say about the preaching of God's word that it's predictable, that it's boring, that it's something that is just going to kind of ruffle no feathers and send us all home with a box ticked. What a good boy, what a good girl. Because when Jeremiah realized what God was speaking to him to say to the people, that's why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He wasn't called the weeping prophet for nothing. He wept over the sins of the people. It's very easy, in the light of all that I've said so far, to be self-righteous and pharisaical and holier than thou. But not Jeremiah the prophet. Just as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, isn't it interesting? Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem long before Jesus. We read oftentimes about him weeping. He was a preacher with a heart who felt the burden of the Lord. He didn't rejoice in the judgment of God that was coming. He knew that people were going to be caught up in the judgment, and he cared about the people. He had compassion for them. And I love this about Jeremiah. He was no dry, dusty preacher of God's word, but he had a heart on fire for God. And he says there in verse 14, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. Jeremiah was on fire for God. He had a heart for God, a heart for people like you and like for people like me, caught up in sin and needing saved. Jeremiah brings the word of the Lord. And so we come to it today, the word for today. And there it is in chapter 6 and verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. In other words, God says to the people, here we are in this day and in this generation, we're at a crossroads. You stand at the crossroads, the preacher stands at the crossroads. Which way are you going to take? Is it going to be the good paths, the old paths, or is it going to be the new liberal path? Make up your mind. Which way are you going to go? And so God sets before them this choice, the gospel, if you like, according to Jeremiah. The gospel, the other gospel that was being preached was the gospel of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this was the choice that they had to make. It was as stark as that. It wasn't a multiple choice option. It was one or the other. Choose. Ask for the good way, the old path, or are you going to go the liberal way? So let's think about the gospel according to Jeremiah. The first thing to say about the gospel according to Jeremiah is that the gospel of Jeremiah began with God. Jeremiah knew Genesis, and the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Isn't it interesting that the Bible begins with God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the new gospel begins with you and me, our needs, our happiness, our comfort, our health, our satisfaction. What's your felt needs today? That's where the new gospel begins. It's a man-centered gospel, whereas the gospel of Jeremiah is a God-centered gospel. That's why when he was in the place of Anathoth, the word of the Lord came to him, says chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 9, the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah didn't wake up some morning and think, I'm going to be a prophet. No one can wake up and say, I'm going to be a preacher of God's word. It's not your choice. It's God's choice. Who are the preachers of his word? And if God is calling you to be a preacher of his word, you can do nothing else. And Jeremiah, as the word of the Lord came to him, he realized it begins with God. I don't feel up to this. I don't feel able for the task. But when God speaks his word, then you have to obey. And for Jeremiah in chapter 1 and now here in chapter 6, Jeremiah is preaching the message of the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, the word of God. What you say and what I say honestly doesn't matter. What does God say? The old paths begin with God, sola scriptura. As Francis Schaeffer entitled his book, The God Who Is There and Who Is Not Silent. Scripture alone is what the Latin phrase means. We begin with God, and that's where the gospel, the true gospel, begins. The second thing to say about this gospel, according to Jeremiah, is that human beings are lost. We're born lost. We're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And if we stay that way, we will be destroyed forever. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? The modern gospel says, you're a really nice woman. You're a really nice man. Och, you might do the odd wrong thing from time to time, but essentially you're a decent human being. The gospel says your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. I mean, ask yourself a question. Has your heart ever told you lies? I know my heart has told me lies. And things that I have believed and things that I have done, which my heart said to me, we're good. Go ahead. And I have ended up in a right mess because I have listened to my own heart. And if your heart did that to you, does that not say to you that your heart is a liar? Your heart is deceitful. Your heart needs to be changed. So why trust it? Why believe it when it says to you, you are a decent human being and everything's going to work out all right in the end and there's no judgment to come? Because if your heart has lied to you in the past, why is it not lying to you now? And Jeremiah's gospel was a gospel about the need for a new heart. Because the heart, the human heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then thirdly, the gospel according to Jeremiah, it preached the message of forgiveness through a new covenant. No longer the Mosaic covenant of Moses, but now in Jeremiah 31, the Holy Spirit says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Their sin and lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's one of the most precious verses of the Bible. Their sins and lawless deeds, God says, I'll remember them no more. The Puritan Thomas Watson, speaking on the verse, he will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, said this, came across this week, and it really is lovely. He says, sin shall not be cast into the sea like a cork, which pops up again. But sin shall be cast into the sea like lead, which sinks to the bottom. And that's the offer of the gospel. That though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be plunged into the whiteness. They'll be plunged into the blood of Christ and turned white. That he will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. We'll be given a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. There's the free offer of the gospel. The sovereign gospel. Unconditional grace. for those who believe and repent. And the good news is that Christ himself has paid for it. You don't have to pay for it, for your sins. Matthew's gospel says in chapter 27, what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field. In other words, if I could put it like this, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was sold for a song so that you and I could have a song to sing with God. That's the gospel. That he took our sins and our sorrows, that you and I could have a song to sing with God. And the cross tells you of our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you your heart is so bad that the Son of God had to die on that cross. But it also tells you the mercy of God is so big that God has made it available at the cost of the death of his Son. The Puritan John Owen, I came across a lovely phrase that he uses in one of his books. He talks about rolling your soul upon Christ. I've been watching the silage being made opposite the manse this week. And they come into those fields where the silage gets cut. And then the baler comes in and gathers it up and wraps it. And when it's wrapped in those big black bales, it rolls out the back of the baler and rolls across the field. Imagine for a moment one of those bales was on top of you. That's what sin's like. It's like a big black silage bale on your back. But imagine if someone came along and said, "That's killing you. Let me take that off you." That's what Jesus did on the cross. That sin is killing you. Let me take it off you. Repent of it, and I'll carry your sin for you. And he is able to save, he is willing to save, he is ready to save. And that's why, fifthly, the gospel of Jeremiah is simply a message that says, as Paul quotes him in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Because to be saved, it's nothing about you, it's all about him, what he has done. The new gospel is all about me and my happiness and me getting a buzz and me feeling better. Oh, don't make me guilty, says the new gospel. Don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel bad about myself. But the old gospel people love to feel guilty because it makes them look to Christ all the more. And to sing plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart unto all eternity. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Salvation, you see, is all of the Lord. So let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. I didn't save myself. The Lord saved me. Not about me, it's about him. And now I'm serving him reverently and repenting of my sin day and daily and thankfully. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. So let me end today by going back to our text in Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. There you will find rest for your souls. Have you got rest in your soul today? We live in a very restless age. People are looking for rest in drugs, in alcohol, in money, in sex, in technology, in religion. Looking for rest in all sorts of ways. Casting Crowns have a song about plastic people. And the point is this: life is just a front for the plastic person. They're all shiny on the outside, but they've nothing inside. That was the people in Jeremiah's day, and that's the people in our day. All shiny on the outside, all blingy, but nothing on the inside. No depth, no spiritual life. And so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest is found in Jesus. Spiritual rest for a burdened soul. Or will you be like the people who, when Jeremiah set the choice before them, said in verse 16 of chapter 6, we will not walk in it. We don't want this new, we don't want this old path. They were defiant. They were rebellious. They were disobedient. And the judgment of God fell upon them. It's a strange chapter, chapter 6 and chapters 5 and 4, all about this foreign nation coming. It's the judgment of God is coming. Because you can't defy God and get away with it. You really can't. There will be a payday. And so God says to us today, if you're following in the NIV, it's translated as standing at the crossroads. There's a choice to be made. Are you going to go the way of the world or the way of God? The broad way or the narrow way? The road that leads to destruction or the road that leads to life? Because we're all following a voice. We all are. You're following a voice and I'm following a voice. The question is it the voice of God? Who are you listening to? Is it the babble of the world, of society, under the judgment of God, or is it the living voice of the living Word of God? And if you claim to be right with God today, is it really well with your soul? As I was saying to the children, under the surface, are the roots healthy? Are the roots going down deep into Christ? That unseen part of your life. You can come to church and be a shiny plastic person. But what about the reading of the Word, the meditating upon it, the praying over it? How is it with your soul? How's your Sunday observance? Is it any different from your next door neighbor, except for the fact you go to church? Is your prayer life precious? Is it vibrant? Or is it just a formality you go through every day? And are you willing to serve the Lord only when it suits you? Or are you willing to serve the Lord because it's the Lord? As I close today, we have this choice. Do we go the way of the old paths or do we go the new paths? I love the old path. I love the old path. I love the old gospel because it's the only gospel. And if you ask for those paths today and walk them, you'll find rest for your souls. But if you go the new way, you'll never find rest for your soul, and you'll end up under the judgment of God. It's as stark as that. And yet the way, the door is open today. So come to Jesus who says, I am the door. If any man comes through me, he'll find eternal life. Let's pray.